Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, a little thought about summer from Jack Spadafore from Park Ridge. Summer, a time to leave worries behind. I remember a huckleberry friend of my youth once telling me, summer is what life ought to be. He was telling me this from atop a tree. I couldn't quite climb with him. As a matter of fact, I couldn't quite do a lot of things starting every June, and so I used to have a tough time agreeing with his assessment of summer. Now, considerably older and a tad wiser, I've come to see it his way. Spring is rich with promise, fall is glorious with color, and winter has the magic of its holy days and holidays. But summer? The earth bursts with life, the trees and gardens explode with aromas, and the planting fields grown heavy with the gifts of God. Waking up on a summer morning, seeing and smelling all this, it's hard not to feel just a bit eternal. Then going to sleep, listening and relishing the magic of cricket choruses, singing to fat white moons, it's hard not to believe in forever. My friend of the treetops instinctively seems to have already understood all this. Back then, I seem to have missed all this. I did it by focusing more on the pressures instead of the pleasures of summer. You know, guys are supposed to build Brad Pitt bodies, sprint down lakefront trails, excel at games, win girls' hearts during vacation romances. Oh, I still notice the lean and beautiful people out there, but I have come to realize that the good old summertime is far more than an agenda to be met. It is that lazy, hazy season each year during which you really don't have to try so hard. Winning races and romances are not a requirement, simply an invitation. If they end well, good. If they don't, summer always has another new day waiting for you. So, whether you're pumping iron or watching your carbs, whether you're a wannabe idol or the next makeover, relax a little. Take a long, sweet look at our summer and let it make you feel good about who you are, just as you are. However, don't wait as long as I did to learn this. Words from Jack Spadafore from Park Ridge. And one of the great songs of summer from Chad and Jeremy, one of my favorites. Distant Shores, and we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Shadows in the starry lights. You came for me to follow, and we kissed on distant shores. Long quiet hours of play, sounds of tomorrow from yesterday. Love came for me to follow. Of children playing, raindrops fall as if they're saying, quiet thoughts of you, caressed by time, the breeze of summer's gone. Memories
Chad and Jeremy, and we kissed on distant shores. And we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. Drury Lane Theater continues its 2016-2017 season with Ear 11's popular murder mystery Death Trap, directed by artistic director William Osatek. Death Trap runs through August 14th at Drury Lane Theater, 100 Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace. A hugely popular stage and screen success and one of the longest-running plays on Broadway, Death Trap offers a skillful blend of gasp-inducing thrills and spontaneous laughter where humor meets homicide. Unknown dramatist Clifford Anderson has sent his new thriller, Death Trap, to award-winning Broadway author Sidney for comment. Or has he? Without a success to his credit for some years, Sidney plots with his reluctant wife, Myra, how to best plagiarize the new play. When Clifford suddenly turns up looking for feedback, events take a sinister turn in this deadly cat-and-mouse game. Considered one of the best-written thrillers of all time, Death Trap is a masterpiece, a psychological maze that ensnares the characters and audience in its intricate construction, comments artistic director William Osatek. I think we've finally found the ideal moment to share it with our audiences, during what is already certain to be a complicated year in America on a political roller coaster. It seems the perfect opportunity for this thrill ride of pure escapism. And on the line with us right now is the Jefferson Award-winning director for the musical Next to Normal. Bill has brought to the stage such great musical hits as Spamalot, White Christmas, Sunset Boulevard, Gypsy, Funny Girl, and Mame. Proud product of a Jesuit education at Loyola University, where he taught Jim Cordy everything he knows. One of the brightest and most distinguished stars of Chicago theater and the artistic director of Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook, now presenting Ear 11's classic murder mystery, Death Trap, at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook through August 14th. On the line with us right now is Mr. William Osatek. Bill, welcome back to The Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Great play, great murder mystery, and just a lot of fun to watch and be part of.
It's a terrific show, one of the best I know.
Just short order, give us a little background on the story, Bill.
Yeah, I heard the introduction that also introduced me, which I incidentally found very flattering. In a nutshell, it's an older playwright who, it's been a decade since he's been on Broadway, so his success has certainly waned, and a younger playwright who was in a playwright seminar that the older playwright taught sends him his new play, Death Trap. And it's amazing. And together, the older playwright and his wife scheme to, under the guise of collaborating with the younger playwright, sort of lure him to their home and try to convince him that he should collaborate with them. And then things get complicated.
A lot of twists and turns. It reminds me of an old French a comedy of manners type of a play, like a flea in her ear or something like that. And certainly you don't know who's the good guy, who the bad guys, or they're all bad guys.
Well, it continues to shift right up to the end of the play.
Why did you choose this one? I know it's kind of hard to pick which plays to put on out at Drury Lane, the great success that you've had. Why choose Death Trap?
Well, one of the main reasons is our audience has made it abundantly clear that they really do love a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to give it to them. We have done a number of mysteries here, and they always do particularly well, I think, because of their fascination with them. There's something also, so I think it is usually pure escapism. You know, I mean, I think most of us don't think of us living in a world where murder is an imminent possibility, or maybe that's not so much the case as much anymore. But certainly the idea of living in this haunted place or this place where evil dwells and could strike at any second is something so alluring. I think it's not unsimilar to wanting to see a horror movie. I think people like to be scared. And I think people like to laugh. And this play, by the playwright himself, calls it a comic thriller. You know, it's frightening at times, and it's really funny at times. And finding that balance is just really exciting, I think, for an audience. They like to laugh, but they also like to be scared. And it's really hard to make those two notions coexist, and with the really good mysteries they do.
And there's a certain amount of intellectualism in this that you got to pay attention a little bit, and you get confused, but you can get back to square one, and then you find yourself thinking, well, who done it? You know, I think that's the secret to it. Who done it? It's like a Sherlock Holmes movie.
Yeah, the plot is really clever in the way it keeps pulling the rug out from underneath either the characters or the audience as well.
Interesting author, Ira Levin, of course, who wrote Rosemary's Baby and what else did he write? Boys from Brazil and Stepford Wives. And Stephen King, the great novelist, called him the Swiss watchmaker of suspense novels. And you can see why, because of the way he constructs this. It's like a Lego puzzle.
Well, I can only guess. I've never written a mystery myself. But obviously you start writing it and you start putting, you know, the pieces together. But then you've got to pick it apart almost backwards, like starting at the end. If this is true, then does this still make sense? And it's just really this process of going back and forth from the ending, going back to the beginning, going forward, and finding out what works and what doesn't. And when you really have studied it as much as I and the cast do, I mean, it's so rich with gifts throughout the course. There are some things that we're still just noticing now. It's like, oh, that's a reference to page 18, where, it's just saturated. I would say, though, it's not so saturated that it's difficult to follow. I think it's easy to follow. Yeah. We've been telling people, don't read the Cliff Notes on Wikipedia, because you'll destroy it for yourself. But it is that carefully crafted. I do think he's a Swiss watchmaker of playwrights and thrillers.
But isn't that interesting, like you say, you've been studying it, though, because you've been living it, you and the cast have been living it for a while. But you look back, when you finally achieved the denouement of the play, you look back and you look at all these little innuendos that popped up, and you say, oh, yeah, that's right, that was there because of this. But you see that at the end, you don't see why it's happening.
That's right, that's absolutely right. It all adds up to just this beautiful play.
Interesting, because I didn't realize this, but Ira Levin wrote No Time for Sergeants, which was the vehicle where Andy Griffith became popular.
Yes.
Which was a great comedy and a lot of fun to watch as you look back at that, and great success, of course, Andy Griffith achieved. But you guys are doing great things at Drury Lane, and certainly with the plays that have been such great successes. And I think what's interesting to see, Bill, and you've been in the theater, Chicago theater, for so many years and had so many successes. The great success you and your group are having at Drury Lane, the great success that I kid in your introduction about our good friend Jimmy Cordy has had out at Paramount, that people don't necessarily have to go downtown to see wonderful theater with great actors and actresses.
That's right. In fact, sometimes the theater you'll see out here is better than the theater downtown. You know, quite a number of the tours that are coming through town, not always, but often enough, are completely non-union, where the producer, in my opinion, is lowballing it and paying the actors not very much and taking all the profits of your expensive ticket price. And we work very hard to keep the ticket price here very low. And, of course, support all of the unions. Our actors are in the unions, as well as our musicians and our stagehands. And, you know, to suggest that the regional theater that's happening is either remedial or less than professional is simply not the case.
Isn't it? That's very true. Very true. And it's evidenced in the success you've had in the Jefferson Awards over the last few years.
Yeah, it's really been a fantastic 10 years.
I remember caddying for Mr. DeSantis when we were living in Beverly at Beverly Country Club many years ago. And, of course, his family carried on the tradition, and some of who are no longer with us. But then the grandchildren are carrying on the tradition, and you guys are just doing wonderful things there.
That's right. We're very happy. You know, it's a family business. It always has been and always will be. And they definitely treat me as though I'm part of the family, and I've always felt that way.
You know, one thing I want to bring out, too, Bill, not only the success that you've had with the mainstream theater that you have, but and I've so much enjoyed bringing my grandchildren to the children's theater at Drury Lane, and they've seen A Christmas Carol, we saw Charlotte's Web not too long ago. It's so important for us as parents, grandparents, teachers, mentors, and so forth, to introduce these young people to the theater so that they're comfortable coming, something they look forward to. That's the future of our theater and so forth, and we need to be doing that.
I agree with that 100%. I've always said that anybody who works in the theater has a job to perpetuate an audience for the future. But I think all of us have a responsibility to introduce young people to the arts in all ways. And, you know, it can't only happen in the schools. It has to happen at home. It has to be made important so that people even realize this is a terrific avenue of entertainment. And as theater practitioners, we have to cultivate an audience for the future, or there won't be one.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they're not doing it in the schools enough. And where they're trying to save money, you know, that's one of the things gets cut, is the culture and the arts part of the curriculum. And that's very sad because, you know, you are there and people come to the theater because they want to engage and their intellect, and they want to cultivate their enthusiasm and enjoy what's going on. It takes us away from, you know, day in and day out what we're doing and what we're struggling through, but certainly coming there to see something that's professionally done, put together, and very enjoyable. And that's what you do so well.
Oh, thank you. I take that as a terrific compliment. I do, especially where the young audience is concerned. I couldn't begin to tell you just how important I think that is to make sure that they're getting exposure to the arts as they should. You know, actually, for the second year in a row now, we've started a summer camp at Drury Lane for kids, giving them a week intensive opportunity to explore acting and singing, and it's just a terrific time to get, 50 kids in here, seeing the shows we're doing, but also working at creating their own show. It's just really important. That's called Regarding Actors. And it's something we take very seriously here, building an audience for the future.
What's the ages for that program?
I believe it goes, I'd have to double check, but I believe it goes 10 right up to 16.
And it does more than...
It might take 9-year-olds, too.
It does more than expose the kids just to theater. It gets them the ability to get out of themselves and maybe talk in front of a group of people and not be introverted, to be more extroverted and get comfortable in front of a group of people, so when they are put in that situation in later years, they've already experienced it, they're familiar with it.
That's exactly right. Many of these kids will not presumably go into theater, but all of them will do a better job at public speaking, will do a better job at being extroverted, even making friends. Some kids come in, as you could imagine, especially young kids, so shy.
Oh, sure.
And by the end of the week, they're singing and dancing and laughing with brand new friends. It's kind of amazing.
I bet it is. And it's very gratifying for you, I bet.
It is thrilling.
You know, we had fun talking about Hazel, A Maid in America, that was out at Drury Lane here a month or so ago. That was a lot of fun, and certainly a lot of people enjoyed going to see that. What's next coming up after Death Trap at Drury Lane?
We've got a review called Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Oh, sure. Lieber and Stoller,
Yeah, that's right. And it's the most successful musical review of all time, the longest running Broadway review. And it's actually being directed and choreographed by Broadway director Marcia Milgram Dodge. First time she's been here. We're so thrilled. You know, this is a series of really exciting Lieber and Stoller songs, like you said, that, you know, it's always been sort of this New York take on it, set in New York. Mm-hmm. And she is so smart and so brilliant. She's like, well, we're doing this production in Chicago. We should set it in Chicago.
That's great. So
she's come up with this concept where the whole thing will take place on Maxwell Street. And I think it is genius. It will be a specifically Chicago production of the show for Chicago. It's truly exciting stuff.
Oh, that's terrific. And that goes September 1st to October 23rd.
That's right.
And that's followed up with what?
crazy for you. Gershwin music.
Yeah, sure.
Tap dancing, singing, beautiful Gershwin musical. You know quite a number of the songs in it. I've Got Rhythm, Embraceable You. It's incredible, and it will really, I think, warm everybody at the holiday time.
And finally, a very raucous show coming January 19th to March 19th, Saturday Night Fever, one of the greats.
That's right. It's, you know, obviously everybody knows the movie with John Travolta.
Sure.
A number of years ago, they adapted it into a play version, and it played on Broadway for a couple of years. And they weren't, it was moderately successful in New York, but when a new entity got controlling rights for it, they got permission to try and make it better. And they've basically been rewriting it, calibrating the music of the show and sort of rearranging how things happen. And so this will feel like a brand new production of the show, even to people who have seen it before. I know that they're calling this the Swan Ship production. This will be, certainly in our opinion, the quintessential production of the show, and that's our goal.
Who's going to be directing that, Bill?
His name is Dan Konecdis. He is also a Broadway veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on the original Spelling Bee.
Oh, yeah.
Spelling Bee,
sure.
And he worked on the original Xanadu.
Wow.
He was nominated for a Tony Award. He's really a big deal. And we really wanted to get somebody special to do this show because it's certainly amazing already coming to us, but it is tricky. And it needed to be in really deft hands. So we searched a long time to find the person that we really thought should helm the ship. And now, after a number of meetings, we know we picked the perfect candidate.
Well, this speaks to your national reputation now, Bill, the fact that you have people from Broadway coming to Oak Brook to direct and participate and be part of the great production that you have. This is a national reputation you have now.
Yes, that's what we've been striving toward.
Yeah. A lot of fun. Under the leadership of President Kyle DeSantis and Artistic Director William Osatek, Drury Lane Theater is a major force in the Chicagoland theater scene, presenting a world-class production in collaboration with some of the nation's leading actors, artists, writers, and directors. Over the past 30 years, Drury Lane has staged more than 2,000 productions and has been nominated for more than 350 Joseph Jefferson Awards. Drury Lane is committed to breathing new life into beloved classics and introducing audiences to exciting new works. Throughout its 30-year history, Drury Lane has employed more than 7,500 actors and 10,000 musicians, designers, crew members to entertain upwards of 9 million audience members. Originally founded by Anthony DeSantis, Drury Lane Theater remains a family-run organization known for producing breathtaking Broadway classics, top-rated musicals, bold new works, hilarious comedies, and unforgettable concert events. Started out in Beverly and Evergreen Park at 95th and Western, St. Bernadette Parish, and it's gone from there. And lucky for us, it still continues with great people like Kyle DeSantis and Bill Osatek to keep that legacy moving forward. Billy, a phone number, website, if people like to get some information?
Yeah, our website is drurylane.com, and our phone number is area code 630-530-8300.
Bill, a pleasure to chat with you, as always.
Can I tell you one more event we have?
Absolutely. Please, please, please.
We started a new thing in August, which is a cabaret in one of our smaller dining rooms. Very intimate, actually. It will only seat about 90 people. And it will be some of the best Chicago performers doing cabaret, sort of in a piano bar setting in the English Room at Drury Lane.
Mm.
So it'll be really exclusive tickets, meaning a really small number of seats,
mm-hmm.
but some of the best Chicago talent on our stage singing with Roberta Ducek on piano. It should be very exciting.
Roberta Ducek, what a great lady. She's been on our show many times, and what great success she's had as a musical director of so many, so many great musicals.
Yeah, we're bringing in ladies like Heidi Kettenring and Ife Butler, Susie McMonagle and Susan Moniz. All of the heavy hitters in Chicago will be singing at a cabaret.
And when will that be happening, Bill?
August 12th and 14th are the first two performances. There's two on Friday, and two on Sunday. And that'll be kicking it off, and then we'll just continue building them as we have time to schedule it. You know, it's finding the room being available and getting the ladies in. All of them, of course, have really involved schedules. But, you know, we have been doing less and less concerts, and we've felt a void in sort of our concert series. So we wanted to start this, and instead of getting people like Wayne Newton or Debbie Reynolds in, we're getting Chicago people in, and people that you know and have seen many times on our stage and other stages in the Chicago area. And I'm sort of giving them an opportunity to sing the songs they want to sing.
That's interesting. You should go on my website, kevinmoorepresents.com, kevinmoorepresents.com. We're going to archive, of course, our conversation here on the show here today. We're involved in the cabaret scene ourselves also, and there might be a simpatico in what we do and what you do to get some people out at the Drury Lane to enjoy that. But I think it's a great idea because it puts people in a little different setting, having a few cocktails, listening to some great ladies sing, and having just a wonderful evening of adult entertainment.
Yeah, and it's intimate, unlike sure. Drury Lane stuff and seat theater. It really lets you get up close and personal with these fantastic Chicagoans. That was Kyle DeSantis's idea. He said, we need to start a cabaret in the English room. I think people would really like it.
And again, for information, they can go on the website or call 630-530-0111. Always a pleasure, Billy. Continued success. And when something happens, I'm sure Kathy Taylor or yourself will let me know, and we'll make sure we get the word out.
Absolutely. It was great to speak with you.
Have a great summer.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Osatek, the artistic director of Drury Lane, and certainly a great production there now. Ira Levin's Death Trap, the classic murder mystery at Drury Lane through August 14th. And as he mentioned, Drury Lane launches the Cabaret Room series with leading ladies of Chicago theater, featuring some top artists like Ife Butler and Heidi Kettenring and Christine Mild, Megan Murphy, and Jeremy Kahn as a featured pianist. Roberta Ducek will be the musical director. And again, for information, go on their website or call 630-530-0111. Collaboraction, Chicago's social issue-driven contemporary theater, announces the lineup of 21 new works, crowdsourced works for its first ever Peace Book Festival, a collaborative citywide festival theater, dance, music, visual art, and spoken word focused on cultivating peace in Chicago. Presented August 12th through the 27th as part of the Chicago Park District's Nights Out in the Park program. Participating artists who have created new works for Peace Book include GQ of the Q Brothers, Sir Taylor, Universes, directed by Cheryl Lynn Bruce, Yuri Lane, the Chicago Beatbox Limited, the Step Alive dance team from Englewood, and many more. Collaboration created Peace Book as a way to engage new artists, audiences, and communities in creating and sharing art that envisions a more peaceful Chicago. Each Peace Book performance is a fast-paced collection of 7 diverse world premiere pieces of theater, dance, and spoken word, each 7 minutes or less, uniting Chicago artists citywide in creating real connections with Chicagoans and communities around the city. Prior to each show, there will be a free community meal and peace fair with panels, workshops, and community organizations from a diverse lineup of peacemakers in Chicago. Additionally, each night features a different musical guest. From our 15 years of producing Sketchbook, we know the power of an arts festival to build community, create artistic collaborations, and launch careers. So we're delighted to bring our proven Sketchbook format to the Chicago Peace Movement, said Collaboration Artistic Director Anthony Mosley. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning director, Jeff-nominated performer for Best Actor, Teacher, Mentor, Community Leader and Activist, nationally recognized producer, playwright, one of the most prominent figures in Chicago theater, founder of the Sketchbook Festival, which has run an astonishing 15 years, and the Artistic Director of Collaboration Theater, now presenting the first annual Peace Book Festival, August 12th through the 27th in Chicago's parks. Our good pal, Mr. Anthony Mosley, the Mose. How you doing, my pal?
Hey, Kevin. I'm doing great.
Always a pleasure to have you, and I'm sorry we have to have this.
Oh, you know, hey, like I say, we didn't create it.
Yeah.
But we got to accelerate the cleanup.
You know, I don't know how we fix what's happening, and it's not getting any better. And you know, I lived through this stuff in the '60s, And we don't need to have this stuff. And I just hate to see what's going on, because it's a very, very few people who are causing all of this distress.
Well, you know, this is what progress feels like, my friend. Yeah. You know, when you go to the rehab therapist to do physical therapy and they're trying to help you do things you've never done before, it hurts.
Yeah.
But when you're done with it, you can do things you haven't done before. And as a country, you know, we need to pull our racism out of the closet, look at it in the light of day, and really talk about it and listen to each other so that we can, you know, make some serious change and bring more equality and therefore peace to the people of Chicago and all around the country.
You've been building up to this for a long time, very frankly, Anthony.
My whole life.
Yeah, you have been. And whether you were in high school or Notre Dame or starting the collaboration many years ago, which seems like yesterday, I'm sure, to you, or raising your family, this is where you're at right now, and this is why you've been chosen to do this. And you've taken the gauntlet, and you're going to run with it.
Well, you know, we finished Sketchbook in January, as you know. We chatted about it, and that was the end of our 15-year run, and we thought the perfect way to reincarnate the festival around Chicago's most important issues. And, you know, we're offering 145 roles this week. We are casting a lot of people, and some of them have been on the stages of The Goodman and Collaboration and Steppenwolf and Eclipse Theater, and some of them have never been on a amateur stage in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting. You know, we're matching up people from Englewood and Austin and Uptown neighborhoods with seasoned Chicago theater professionals. We're hoping to launch a couple careers along the way, but mostly activate the thinking and knowledge that really fuels the empathy that gets people to really say, how can I be a piece of the solution here in Chicago? How can I be a part of the civil rights movement on a national level, you know? And you know, this is what theater was made for. We forget in the, you know, Chicago is like the Napa Valley of theater. I mean, we're in the middle of this cluster of this renaissance of great theater, and we forget that it wasn't just really made to put on a show, because we do it so well. But the Greeks started this thing as a way of really taking on the big issues and sitting in a room together and really opening up the mind and the heart and the dialogue to follow. And so we're really excited to have the opportunity to bring the Chicago theater community, maybe our greatest natural resource, to the Chicago peace movement and facilitate a lot of, you know, a lot of change and a lot of life-changing moments for all of the people involved.
That's interesting you bring up the analogy of the Greeks, because maybe we should consider Anthony Mosley taking a line from Sophocles, the Oedipus Rex of Chicago theater.
You can call me whatever you want, Ken. You know that. You do such a good job of it. Your introductions are amazing. I just want to have, like, the Chicago Bulls, like that Pink Floyd opening, and then, like, you need to have, like, 20,000 people cheering. But, so, yeah, whatever you say.
You know, I use a story.
I love my mother. I love my mother.
Well, she had a great son. That's what you do. But, you know, something occurred the other day. I took the kids to our old neighborhood out in Beverly, and we went to my grandchildren, had never been there, and they're only 3 and 2, but we took them to Rainbow Cone. And
wow.
We're going to have a Rainbow Cone, and I was getting out of the car, and I was kind of walking to the door, and my wife was getting, Kimberly was getting out, the boys out of the car, and there was a couple black people sitting at the picnic tables enjoying the Rainbow Cone. And I was just coming from church, so I had a sport coat on, and I had my pink suspenders on. And the guy said to me, black guy said to me, boy, you know, those pink suspenders look pretty cool. I said, you know what? Very few of us can wear these. And he laughed, and I said, you enjoying that Rainbow Cone? Because I'm going to go get a couple myself. And then my little grandson, 3-year-old, said, he said, Grandpa, do you know that man? I said, yeah, he's a friend of mine. And I didn't know him. I never met him before. But you know what? Maybe there is a connection that he's a friend of mine, because we're all friends of each other. And I think if we think along those lines, maybe we wouldn't have the problems we got.
Well, you know, you're hitting it on the head in two different ways. I remember being a young white boy and being told over and over again that I had to, you know, be wary of, you know, black people.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of message is that,
yeah.
You know? And yeah, we are all the same, and we have to focus on our similarities and not our differences. And, you know, those that have had privilege, there is actually a responsibility. There's a karmic responsibility on those that have had more resources to really roll up their sleeves. And you know, that's why I'm trying to become a piece of the solution, because I know that I've been given a lot, and, you know, I want to give a lot.
Tell me what the format is. Is it like going to be like Sketchbook? How are you going to go about putting it together?
Just like Sketchbook. Each location will have 7 new world premieres with a musical guest, and except we're in these huge, beautiful Park District auditoriums. We'll be bringing in, you know, a lot of lights and truss and scenic design, but we're in these 100-year-old, beautiful, underutilized Park District gems. And every night there'll be 7 pieces with a musical guest in between. There'll also be a peace fair before every show. Mm-hmm. There'll be a free meal for everybody from Connie's Pizza, and that's going to include salad and chicken and pizza and fresh fruit. And then there's going to be a peace workshop, and on Saturdays we're going to do our dance battle tournament inside of a geodesic dome at 5 o'clock, and then we're going to have a panel with a town hall discussion at 6:15. So really, we want people to take the whole family, come out, spend an evening with us on Friday or Saturday in a neighborhood you may have never come to, and sit with other Chicagoans and folks of the great state of Illinois, and listen and share in these stories. And we have established playwrights like Stephen Sapp and Mildred Ruiz of The Universes, directed by Cheryl Lynn Bruce. They have a new piece called Before You Pop, Pop, Pop. And, you know, so we have Stephen Sapp and The Universes are resident theater at Oregon Shakes. They're opening up a show about the Black Panthers at the Public Theater in New York in the fall. And they're also currently adapting August Wilson's never-before-shared poetry to the stage. And here they are writing a world premiere short piece directed by Cheryl Lynn Bruce, an artistic force in this city. And we're casting a couple of those roles are coming right from Englewood.
Wow.
So there's going to be some magic there. We also have GQ of the Q Brothers. He wrote a song called Shy City Love. If you know the Q Brothers style of hip-hop Shakespeare, you know, it's funny, it's big-hearted, it's full of energy, and GQ's going to be there to perform it, which is a really big deal. He was in the film Drumline. I don't know if you ever saw film with Nick Cannon.
Sure.
He's often referred to as the white guy from Drumline.
Mm-hmm.
So when I tell the teenagers of Englewood that the white guy from Drumline is coming, they all light up, and they go, oh, the guy that played the bass drum. I'm like, yeah! And, you know, we had Sir Taylor's bringing back another piece. We have Andy Lauffer from Straw Dog is directing a piece. We have all, you know, we're bringing a lot of the love and talent of the Chicago theater community. And I like this, you know, Peacebook is really, I think, a vessel for those artists to really join the Chicago peace movement. I think a lot of us in Chicago, we want to contribute. We want to do something. But it's hard sometimes to find, like, a really nice vessel that makes sense and takes your strengths and turns them into something tangible. And that's what we're trying to do.
You know, I'm going to call you back on your cell phone because this is we got a terrible connection here, and I think we can talk and hear a little better on that. So why don't you hang this up, and I'm going to call you right back.
Okay, great. You have my cell phone number.
Yes, I do. Well, I think we were talking on Sophocles is the line there. That's why it was so bad. But getting back to our chat with Anthony Mosley, the Artistic Director of Collaboration Theater and his first annual Peacebook Festival, what kind of response have you gotten so far, Anthony?
I mean, you know, the response has been great. I mean, I think people are really looking for, you know, some half glass half full tactics, some optimism, and, you know, protesting is important, but what do you do with the energy once you've got
sure.
Once you've boiled it up, what do you do with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is an action. We are doing something. You know, people talk about violence and the root causes of violence and who's to blame, and definitely during the political season, we hear a lot of that. But this is a tangible thing. You can become a part of the peace movement by, if you're an artist, by participating, if you're a citizen, by volunteering, or coming, you know? And don't undervalue the importance of showing up in a new neighborhood. The metaphor that when you just show up in a neighborhood that you've never been to, a neighborhood that's been stricken by the results of segregation, it makes a really big statement to everybody who sees you. And that's the beginning, you know? So, you know, we just want audience members to say, hey, we love theater. We love the Sketchbook Festival. Why not go to Englewood to see this peace book? Look at this lineup, you know, and I can tell you it's not dangerous.
Yeah.
Only if you go there at 3 a.m. on the wrong block. You know, if you come to the park on Friday at 7, it's safe. The police are there and it's a beautiful facility. And it's really, you know, home to the community. So this is a place that has a lot of pride and is really good at welcoming people. And I'm talking about Englewood Park. I mean, Hamilton Park, which actually they call the amazing Hamilton Park, was the name that it was given like 100 years ago.
It's a beautiful area. There used to be lagoons there and everything else. People used to take boats in the. I grew up at 81st and Vincennes, so I'm familiar with the neighborhood. That's on the south side, of course, August 12th and 13th. On August 19th and 20th, a week later, you're going to be at La Follette Park at 1300 North Laramie,
yep.
in the Austin neighborhood. And then winding up in Uptown at Clarendon Park, beautiful park, big park, at August 26th and 27th on the north side. And people will be able to come out.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, every show has free food. We feed your stomach. We feed your brain, we feed your heart, and then we see what happens, you know? But really, we're just trying to get this dialogue started and accelerating some change. And, you know, I would love nothing more to follow Sketchbook with a 15-year run of Peace Book and be able to talk to you in 15 years from now and you know, and be able to say things have gotten better, haven't they, Kevin?
My guess it'll happen, very frankly, and if anybody can make it happen, affect a resolution, it's Anthony Mosley. I'm confident in that. But you're not going to stop here. You're going to be continuing throughout your season, and the season will no longer enjoy a sketchbook, but it'll be Peacebook.
Yeah, we got Peacebook, and then, you know, we have a world premiere in the fall I'm super excited about. It's called The Mars Assignment, written and directed by Ronan Mara, who was the co-artistic director of Signal Theater for a number of years and co-created with our costume designer and company member Elsa Hiltner. You know, it explores depression and mental illness, you know, and really illuminates the way that everybody gets the blues from time to time.
Sure.
So isn't it silly for us to put this stigma on depression and mental health? You know, if you hurt your knee, you go to a knee doctor and you get it fixed, and people don't think that you're, you know, less or unstable. If you have a mental health issue, you know, we should be able to talk about this with our friends and family and coworkers, and we should be able to address it. And Ronan has done an amazing job of just making kind of like an indie film. You know, it's a character-driven piece. And it's about a husband and a wife and a daughter, a 10-year-old who's getting ready to do her big assignment in the third grade on Mars, and some of the pressures that boil up in everyday life, and how, you know, when imperfect timing comes, you know, it could get to be too much. There's also a stand-up comic in the show who's dealing with depression, who is really funny, and there's a couple other characters. So I'm really excited for that. And then in the winter, we have Gender Breakdown, which is a piece that's going to look at gender disparity in theater by Danny Bryant and Erica Vannon. And these ladies have done some great work with us at Sketchbook. Most notably, they created a piece called Spanx You Very Much last January that had 45 women in it, and it was about body issues and female body empowerment. Mm-hmm. So they're making this show, and basically they're exploring, like I said, gender disparity in theater. There was a show in Seattle called That's What She Says. Did you hear about that show?
I haven't, no.
This playwright and actress took the top 10 plays, top 10 plays produced in regional theater, according to TCG Group and American Theater Magazine. They went through those plays and they pulled out all the language by or about women. And then they took those lines of text and they combined them to create one new show to highlight the way that even in the theater's most popular shows, the role of women are often stereotyped, marginalized, and minimalized. I mean, if you read the stage directions about women entering stage, you think they were cats. You know, Cheryl slinks into the room and cozies up next to the armoire. I mean, you know, it's amazing that still today, women are not treated like equals, not just in society, but even in the theater industry, which is like the home of progressive liberals, who you would think all realize that women are the major driving force of the theater, both in the audience, as we know, and in the artist departments. But really, Chicago does much better than other cities in regards to putting women in leadership roles in theater making, but still only 30% of our shows have female playwrights. Mm. And we, you know, that's not parity.
You know, it comes awful close to home, because didn't we just have a theater company, Chicago, which had some challenges with that and closed because of that?
Well, yeah, their challenges were much more than just leaning towards the men. But yeah, what an awesome story of Chicago theater banding together to take care of their own. Yeah. And, and this is the thing, right? That couldn't have happened 5 or 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
It needed the technology to be able to accelerate the dialogue.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening with police brutality against blacks, right? We needed the technology to show everybody what has been happening. When people are like, it's so bad, I say to them, I bet you it was so much worse 20 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, police brutality was just called police work. Mm. You know, I had a friend who told me he joined the police force in 66 because he got back from the Marines in Vietnam, and he was good at beating people up, so he joined the police, you know. And he's also a great stage actor. But you know, this is where we're at, and it's an exciting time. Because we finally have the power, the people have the power in our cell phones to record and share our voices and our ideas and our thoughts. And so that's why we're trying to put our pedal to the metal in regards to taking on important issues, because we think that we can make an impact. And, you know, it's easy to think that one person doesn't matter. You know, why vote? My one vote isn't going to matter. You know, why give to the peace movement? You know, but what we really know is that that's not true. One person can change the world. And that's actually the only way anything has ever happened. If somebody has had an idea, they've shared it, others have gathered around that idea, contributed to it, and then put it into action. So let's go. So it's an exciting time to be Collaboraction, but we also don't want to be boring. We don't want to be like the Channel 11 of theater. No offense, I love Channel 11. I watch it all the time. WTTW is amazing. I'd love to come on Chicago Tonight and talk about Peace Book in the next month or so, but it doesn't make exciting, entertaining, I mean, some of their documentaries are so good, but we still want to be that same old Clabber Action that can be quirky and funny and progressive and surprise you and make you feel alive while saying, hey, let's look at some of this important stuff because maybe we can make some changes.
Well, you do that so well, but I wish the vote that we're supposed to cast would count so that we could vote for somebody worthwhile to vote for. That's the problem.
Well, you know, it all starts in the voting, right? I mean, we had a chance, you know, the mayoral election last year, only 38% of Chicagoans voted. You know, and I don't think you were even talking about Chicago politics, but if everybody who didn't vote voted, they could pick whoever they wanted in any election. So we got to remember that the people in power don't really want everybody to vote. It's not to their advantage. You know, we already know, like, you know, 85% of the country wants to change the gun laws, but the Congress and the Senate won't do it because of the lobbyists, because of the NRA. So, you know, we really need to continue to empower our citizens by making them understand really the importance of the vote. And it's not about your vote. It's about your commitment, your proactivity, and your engagement in making this country really wonderful again.
It's always a pleasure to chat with you, Anthony. It's been a tradition to have you on the show and to talk about everything that's happening at Clabber Action. It's been a joy to watch you grow and to watch you change and to watch you be so impactful to what's going on in the theater community, but more so into the community that you're so vital part of. And it's just wonderful to be able to get the word out on that.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's always an honor to come on air with you and stop the machine for a few minutes and kind of share what's going on. I mean, if we could take the 15 or so, 20 interviews I've done over the last decade and put them together and make a little highlight film, you know, I think we might have a nice feature documentary that they could run on WTTW.
That's a thought. Anthony Mosley's call to action. We encourage all Chicagoans who want to be part of the peace movement to join us as an artist, audience, or volunteer. We must all come together and address the biggest issues of our times, the epidemic of violence and inequality that is a result of 200 years of segregation. Theater can unite us and activate us. Clabber Action collaborates with artists, community activists, and citizens from throughout the city to create original theatrical experiences that push artistic boundaries and explore critical social issues with a diverse community of Chicagoans. Clabber Action has worked with more than 3,000 artists to bring more than 60 productions and events to more than 100,000 audience members. Clabber Action, Chicago's social issue-driven contemporary theater, announces the lineup of 21 new works, crowdsourced works for its first-ever Peace Book Festival, a collaborative citywide festival of theater, dance, music, visual art, and spoken word focused on cultivating peace in Chicago, presented August 12th through the 27th as part of the Chicago Park District's Nights Out in the Park program. And on the line with us right now is the artistic director and founder of Clabber Action Theater, our good pal Anthony Mosley. Anthony, phone number, website, if people like to get some information?
You can go to www.clabberaction.org. Our phone number is 312-226-9633. We are honored to be a part of the Chicago Park District's Nights Out in the Park. You know, they're doing over 1,000 events a year, and we are one of those productions. And if you check out the Nights Out in the Park app, you can learn more about all the other free programming they have around the park, around the parks, around the city. It's pretty remarkable, and a lot of people don't realize that our park district won, like, the gold medal of park districts last year. Being honored nationally is the first time in our history that we've won that award, and I believe the Nights Out in the Park was a big part of that. So you got to give the Park District credit because, you know, I think they're doing great work, and we're just really fortunate to be part of it.
Always a pleasure, my pal. You know how much I enjoy our chats. And how are things going with the Mosley clan?
Oh, my wife is developing her new show. Sandra Delgado, she's creating a show called La Habana Madrid with Teatro Vista, theater company that's going to be part of their season next year. You'll have to check it out, Kevin.
It's, absolutely.
She's recreating this Latin jazz club in Lakeview in the 60s.
Cool.
Where Latino immigrants would go to hear the bands from their country and it became a real refuge where everybody spoke Spanish, and if you went there on the night that the Colombian band was coming, you'd see a lot of your fellow Colombians. And she's interviewing people from that era, including the club owner, and telling their stories with a 10-piece salsa band on stage, and it's to be directed by Cheryl Lynn Bruce. So, you know, she's starting to really blossom as a playwright as well, so that's really exciting. And then, you know, Stella, the superstar, the future of the Mosley family, you know, she ended up beating, like, the lead in our 20-year anniversary show Connected this spring, and she's just a bundle of fun. So we're just happy to be here in Chicago, arrived in the middle of our careers, and we're just trying to just keep that going for as long as we can.
God bless you, my friend. You're a dear friend. And again, one more time for a website or phone number.
312-226-9633. Give us a call with any questions, or you can email info@collaboraction.org. That's also how you can reserve tickets. And Peace Book is all free. So if you want to bring the whole class or the whole family, just let us know. You know, we'll reserve those tickets for you. There's a free meal every night, or you can go to collaboraction.org. We also just launched a fundraising campaign called Piece of the Solution. So if you can't make it out to the show, which is the number one priority, and you want to contribute, we'd love that. And we have a really special fundraiser called One City on August 6th with a whole lineup of big-time DJs and a whole room, indoor air-conditioned room, dedicated to our work in the peace movement. So people can go to collaboraction.org and learn more about that. And if you like outdoor music festivals, that would be a great place to come. But really, encourage people to try to make it out to Peace Book if they can.
Let us know what we can do, my pal. We're always there for you. You know that.
Kevin, thank you. So great chatting with you. How's your summer going?
You know, it's going too fast. That's how it's going. That's how it's going.
Right, we got to soak it in right now, because the next thing you know, it'll be February.
Oh,
we'll be thinking about July. You know?
That's the truth. That's the truth.
So I'm just trying to record as much as I can and slow down the days from time to time. Great talking to you. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Enjoy your summer, Bill. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Anthony Mosley, the artistic director and founder of Collaboration Theater, who does such a terrific job, as I said before, not only contributing to the theater and being part of the theater and the foundation of theater in Chicago, but in his community. He's a person who, I think there's an old saying by Winston Churchill, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And he's a person who certainly does give. Collaboration Theater, for information, 312-226-9633. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, Bill Osatek, the artistic director of Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook, now presenting Ira Levin's classic murder mystery, Death Trap, at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook through August 14th. For information, 630-530-0111. And our good pal Anthony Mosley, the artistic director and founder of Collaboration Theater, now presenting the first annual Peace Book Festival, August 12th through the 27th in Chicago's parks. For information, 312-226-9633. By all means, go on their website and get some information, because what Anthony does really affects us all in the community. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have at the very least done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
Year after year, You're sure your heart will fall apart each time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, then any luck, then I suppose the music